Hi, and welcome to Beyond the Official Narrative. Almost said the last man standing there. Covering in for Richard Carey tonight on Beyond the Official Narrative here on Republic Broadcasting Network. On this Friday, is it the 9th? Yes, I think it is the 9th. How could you forget? 9th of May, 2025. I'll be with you here for the next 2 hours before I forget. do go and to the homepage, Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org, and be as generous as you can to keep shows like this on the air, where you can hear content like this, which I do think generally is unique. We talk about everything. It's a different take from what you're going to hear in mainstream media or even mainstream media light or any of these other kind of YouTube channels or whatever. So, you will see the various options. You've got credit card, debit card. There's an option to go to for PayPal and for postal orders or checks. You'll see the address there. It's Round Rock, Texas. You'll see. I apologize. I should have that information. But
I can,
it's all there.
I have it memorized.
Yeah, that'd be all right. Listen, I'm sure, well, if you want, give it out. But it's all there anyway. And support us. Go ahead.
2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719. The operator is standing by.
Yeah, and if you're feeling extra generous, send Patrick some money and send me some money on PayPal. Anyway, one other thing. We'll take calls in the last half hour. We are doing this show live. Usually Patrick and I pre-record our shows, whether it's for one of his shows in the week or whether it's my show, because my show on the Sunday evening is a really difficult time for me to do the show live, unfortunately, because I do like to do live shows. However, there's so much happening at the minute. When Patrick and I did a show during the week, I actually felt frustrated. I thought, you know, we really need a couple of hours. Really, there's so much stuff to get through that I wanted to comment on. I think we only got through about two or three out of maybe six or seven things I wanted to give at least sort of 10 minutes to. So we've got 2 hours tonight, but we will. I understand that on Richard's show, it's very, you know, there's a lot of callers normally, and obviously people like calling into the show. So I don't want to say we're not having any calls, because the callers were saying, Richard, don't ever have that Irish moron back again, because it doesn't allow us to call in. So you can call in for the last half hour, and hopefully we'll get through what we want to get through, Patrick, because there's a hell of a lot going on. And how are you, sir?
I'm okay. I almost never do it live, because if I did, it would just be chaos. And therefore, I'm almost never available for callers. Occasionally, I'm on Jeremy's show live, and we'll take a selected callers. I used to, for about 4 years, I was doing Stormfront Radio, and that had been a call-in show until we got too many Fed posting calls, where the network over there lost their ability to take calls because of too many Fed posted calls that became a financial liability. I got sick of taking calls over those 4 years. Because some of the callers were fine, and some were jerks, and some were Fed posting calling for a violent overthrow of the government and things like that. And it's like, you're not going to violently overthrow the government. All you're doing is you're becoming a legal liability for the network. And so, we lost the ability to take calls. I don't know. I mean, if you want to take calls, it's fine with me. And if they're jerks,
in the last half hour, there's always going to be some sort of armchair a-holes who think that they've got the solutions for everything while they're sitting, in their armchairs talking nonsense. But I guess it's, they have to have some way of letting off steam, whatever. You'll have people who do deliberately call in to offend you, to try and offend you. Sorry, what were you saying?
I was helping a friend move a couple of weeks ago, move a library, and on the way back I was stuck in a truck with a guy who was just he was big time conspiracy guy, and I had to listen to it. I was driving and I didn't feel like responding, so I just let him talk. It reminded me of some callers I used to get.
You what, sorry?
It reminded me of some callers I used to get when I did the show live.
Yeah, well, thankfully, it's usually a minority, and it's usually just one or two, you know, and it is what it is. But, yeah, you know, before you call in to give us abuse and or whatever, if there are those types of people who tell you they don't, you don't know anything or you're full of crap or whatever else, we don't get paid for this, okay? We don't get paid to get abused. So, but, like I said, thankfully, it's a minority of people, and I guess it's not that hard to suffer one or two occasionally. Anyway, right, okay, so in the last half hour, we'll take calls. Patrick, if you're too tired at that point, you know, and you're not in the mood, you can just you can crack on and get some sleep. Okay, it's just after midnight here in the UK. Let's start with this because, and I have to say, I am thoroughly sick of it. I'm thoroughly sick of the long shadow that World War II is still casting. I'm sick of it, and it's just like, it's now got to the point where it's just, you know, it's been that way for a while, but it's still, you know, exploited so much, you know, for current political agendas, whether it's in the West, in Europe, in America, whether it's for Putin, of course, gets a lot of mileage out of it. But I am thoroughly sick of it. You know, you would think that not only was Adolf Hitler the most evil man in the world ever, with, you know, maybe it currently Putin coming in there at a close-ish second. But you would think that Adolf Hitler was the only evil man that ever lived, you know? And so, you know, this whole Victory Day thing, there's such a big build-up to it this year. And quite frankly, it's almost amusing, but they're actually all now squabbling over, you know, who was most responsible for defeating, you know, Hitler's Germany. You know, the Russians, in fact, I was listening to Larry Johnson, and, you know, all that crowd are very, you know, zealous at the minute about telling us that the Russians were first and foremost responsible for defeating the Nazis. Not the West, not Churchill and not the U.S. They, you know, proceeded to tell us about how many millions of Russians died and how few United States people died. In fact, Larry Johnson almost sounded, he was upset that more Americans didn't die. I feel like, you know, if I could speak, Larry, that's a good thing that not too many Americans died. That's a good thing. Calm down. Don't be too upset. You know, it's like the guy was upset. So it's almost like he wanted more Americans to die. You know, I think some of these guys go a little too far. You know, at times, we understand that the U.S. is governed and there are Jewish that they never mention, but there are sinister and nefarious forces that manipulate particularly the United States foreign policy, but also domestic issues as well. But these guys sound like they actually hate America. It's almost like, go and live in Russia. You know, it goes over the top. And they talk about the Soviet Union a little too positively for my liking as well. With the exception of Douglas McGregor, who put some context on it. And that's not to say I hate Russians, because we've taken the side of Russia on this because we think that the truth lies in their position. But I'm no fan of Stalin. I'm no fan of communism. It doesn't mean I hate the people who were under that yoke. But I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell you for sure. Adolf Hitler didn't go around burning and churches and slaughtering priests and the clergy like the Soviet Union did and the Bolsheviks before them. So, and I just think these guys go a little bit too far, you know, with this whole Russia thing. But anyway, I'll get your comments in a minute, Patrick. But, you know, Trump has decided to, better late than never, get in on the act here. Because they're all, like I said, they're all squabbling now over, you know, who is most responsible for defeating the most evil man and the only evil man, it would seem, in history. Here he is. Here's Trump getting in on the act.
Just signed a proclamation officially designating tomorrow, May 8th, as the Victory Day for World War II, commemorating the 80th anniversary of America's victory in the Second World War. all over the globe, our World War II allies are celebrating this week. But the United States has never joined in with the proper celebration of our own. And the victory was mostly accomplished because of us. Without America, the liberation would never have happened. And so we have to pay tribute and homage to those people that gave us victory. And we did something else that people don't talk about. We rebuilt the world. All of these countries that were destroyed, we helped them rebuild. And that's something that, for the most part, others did not do.
Minimizing Britain.
Mm-hmm. And was millions of Americans who served in World War II, along with the unprecedented mobilization home front that helped deliver this great triumph. All Americans should take pride in what these incredible patriots have achieved. So I just want to say happy Victory Day to all. So we are celebrating every year now. I can guarantee for 4 years, but I think after that we're going to have two victory days, World War I and World War II. This is World War II Victory Day. In the future, we're going to have a major celebration of each day. We're not going to have days off because we don't have enough days in the year. We have too many celebrations already. But we're going to have Victory Day and World War One, World War Two.
It's actually funny, really. It's just like, I don't know. I mean, Trump has... Oh, there's one little more segment here. Are you there, Patrick?
Yeah, I'm here.
One more segment.
And by the way, they lost millions of people. And they were absolutely a major factor. But it was no major factor like us. We won the war. And we won it with the help of others. But everybody was celebrating with the United States of America. And I said, you know, I think it's time that we start celebrating victory. And that's what we're doing.
I mean, Trump recently has just firmly entered into absolute cringe territory with pretty much everything he said. It's like everything he said is just cringe now. It's just like...
Crash and burn? Crash and burn. He's a flaming wreck.
It's embarrassing. You know, it's he's so ignorant of things sometimes, and the way he delivers things sometimes, it's just so cringe. Like I said, it's like ignorant. I don't dislike Trump, but I just don't know who he is. You know, whether it's to do with the Middle East stuff or whether it's to do with this Ukraine stuff, whatever. No one can get a handle on him. It's a different. He contradicts himself constantly. You know, and of course, he basically said there, you know, okay, there was millions of Russians died, but, you know, we won the war. Anyway, so like I said, everyone's squabbling. Europeans condemned this, of course. I think Putin was reasonably gracious today and thanked the Allies. Although, the other thing that gets on my nerves about this whole remembrance thing, whether it's here, VE Day, or whether it's in Russia or anything else, it essentially, in many ways, you know, it sort of enters into like having another Holocaust Remembrance Day. You know, even Putin today said Russia is an indestructible barrier against Nazism and anti-Semitism. You know, as if we need any more barriers against anti-Semitism. I mean, it seems like every other week there's some new legislation. In fact, there's new legislation came in about a week ago. I was listening to Glenn Greenwald about it. I haven't really got down into the actual details of it. But, you know, in addition to that, what was it, the Anti-Semitism Act last year? Now there's another one, apparently, which is even worse. So, I mean, I don't think the Jewish community needs the help of Russia to be a barrier against anti-Semitism. They seem quite capable of, erecting their own barriers, you know?
I think the latest one didn't pass one of the houses of Congress. So this latest one has failed to be enacted. You know, what Trump said, you could make a case that technically just about everything he said was technically correct. The business about that it wouldn't have been won without the United States. Well, okay, you can make that case if you're going to emphasize the industrial production, because
I made a great point to Richard Kerry last night off air.
Yeah, the first with Lend-Lease, where the United States was supplying Great Britain with all sorts of materials before the United States had even technically entered the war, and it was technically neutral, but of course it was sending all this stuff to Britain, and you had that, and then
millions, maybe billions, even then.
Yeah, and then you had this major corridor of logistics opened up going through Iran. They overthrew the rather pro-German Shah of Iran, Reza Shah, I guess. Reza Pahlavi. Is that how you say his name? He was the father of Mohammad Reza Shah, who was the infamous Shah of Iran during the, you know, our days, who got overthrown in the Islamic Revolution in 1979. But his father had been overthrown in order to establish a government friendly to the Allies, such that supplies, materials could be transported by sea, because the Allies controlled the sea, and up through Iran into the Soviet Union. So you can make that case, but who cares? What kind of a Pyrrhic victory was it? You know, if it was such a great victory, how come it morphed almost seamlessly into a Cold War?
Where, I was about to question myself,
into a Cold War.
A victory, by the way, a victory for whom exactly? And what was achieved?
What was achieved? So, I look at the war. I think that the correct side in the war was the side of the America First people who said, let's not get involved. The correct side was the aviator, Charles Lindbergh.
And Henry Ford. Yeah, everybody who knew about the Jews, basically. Joe Kennedy, JFK, Kennedy's father, was outspoken against the war. That's all forgotten. Those guys,
Father Coughlin, who was I'm not going to call him the Joe Rogan of his days. He had a huge audience, but he wasn't smoking marijuana all the time.
And that was World War One. You know, they were calling back at that point. Lindbergh, Kennedy, Henry Ford. They said that America should not get involved with World War One.
Lindbergh's father. Lindbergh was rather young at that point, not necessarily a child, but he wouldn't have been.
Maybe he was outspoken about World War Two. Anyway, you know, so as I say, they're all now squabbling who was responsible for saving the world. Yeah, because everything's been so wonderful since, you know. I mean, you know, I think on some level we're told that, you know, if Hitler had taken power, we'd have just been in constant wars by trying to thwart Hitler's, wicked intents to take over the whole world. And by the way, Europeans would would now be living under some sort of authoritarian system, which would be undemocratic, like an undemocratic regime. And you wouldn't really have free speech, really. there wouldn't be much freedom of press, really. Sorry, so what's the difference then?
Exactly.
Well, so... Hitler, he spoke
out again. You get my point? You get my point.
No.
You know, we're living under an authoritarian... You know, look at Marine Le Pen lawfare. Romanian elections cancelled. They're talking about banning them. I mean, free speech. You know, Churchill. He earned free speech for us, huh?
No. I mean, so
right. Yeah. I mean, there's no free speech in this country.
I mean, you can talk about World War II ending in Eastern Europe coming under communist Soviet domination. So you can talk about that. But Western Europe, Western Europe became prosperous.
Yeah, for a bunch of people for about 50 years.
It became prosperous, but it came under this Jewish domination where you had destroying the ethnic, what would you call it? The ethnic homogeneity or ethnic character. The ethnic character came under under attack, and it was a priority to invite in just massive numbers of non-Europeans into these countries. And of course, the birth rates, you know, one of these days maybe we can talk about overpopulation, but the birth rates went down in all of these countries, and so you've got it winds up being that the Eastern European countries that were under Soviet domination, what some people would call a Soviet yoke, they're actually doing better now in by certain measures, by demographic measures, they're doing better than the Western European countries. The Western European countries and America. What did we win? Who's we? We don't need, it's we anymore. I mean, is Trump a racist by saying that those were our ancestors? Because over a third of the people in the United States didn't have ancestors in the country at the time of World War II.
Yeah.
So maybe he's being racist, white supremacist by claiming some sort of victory there. One more point I want to make. So Hitler, he campaigned against Judeo-Bolshevism. And this is a point I was making in my show from 8 hours ago, or whenever it was, that at the time that Germany, and it was Germany that invaded the Soviet Union. I mean, people make the case that, well, they knew that the Soviet Union was about to invade them, so they did it first. But whatever. At that point, can you even call the Soviet Union Judeo-Bolshevik at because throughout the 1930s, Stalin, who wasn't Jewish, he had purged all of these Jews that had been in the early Bolshevik Politburos with him. He purged them all. Trotsky's, yeah. Noviev.
You're listening to Republic.
Now let's go. We'll crack on. Don't worry about the break.
Are we cracking on or are we breaking?
No, we'll crack on.
We're cracking up.
No, if you want to break.
To get your new ease off drop and lift.
What in the world is an ease off drop and lift?
Our ease off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the EaseOff installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com. That's EaseOff.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Howdy, cousins. This is RBN host Blackbird 9, a.k.a. Frederick C. Blackburn, asking you to please support the Republic Broadcasting Network. Every day, RBN's mission is to use our collective voices to spread truth and relevant information, to gain a deeper understanding of the adversary, and to gain knowledge for survival against the gradual erosion of the Republic. But in order to sustain this incredible communications network, RBN needs your financial contributions. To donate, visit republicbroadcasting.org, call 1-800-724-2719, or mail your donations to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Back here live on Beyond the Official Narrative, covering for Richard Kerry on this May the 9th, lest you could forget. And I'm with Patrick Slattery, and you were saying, yeah, of course, I mean, the Eastern Europeans did better out of it. The West, of course, did come under the yoke of Judeo-Bolshevism, really, and they've wrecked their countries. I was just saying to Richard off air yesterday that there's no point getting upset about mass immigration and trying to save our people anymore. It's over. I just have to walk up the street to see it's over. I just don't see how this is just irrevocable now. We forget about it. I mean, we're all talking here about we saved the world from Adolf Hitler. Did anybody mention mass immigration and the seriousness of demographics? I mean, this is not a war you can win, in quotes, in 4 years. This is not some misguided education policy or some misguided fiscal policy that a new administration or a new government can rectify. They've wrecked the country. It's irrevocable. We're not. It's like the place looks like the third world. It looks like the global south. How do you reverse that? Sorry, but, you know, sitting here, hey, World War II. Anyway, go ahead, Patrick.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was saying how Hitler had campaigned against Judeo-Bolshevism, but by the time that the German-Soviet war started, was the Soviet Union even, was it Judeo anymore? Well, in a way, I mean, they wound up with a political and economic system that had been designed by Jews. But it wasn't. It was no longer being run by Jews. But, you know, this is the problem that the Soviet Union had for its entire history. Is it had a repressive system that would lack popular support, but it also had an extremely irrational economic system, and they were just kind of stuck with it because it was a revolutionary government. The czars had been around for hundreds of years, and they had, you know, the mandate of God or whatever, divine right of kings, that was their legitimacy. The legitimacy of the Soviet Union was based in the October Revolution. Well, if that's where the legitimacy of your government is coming from, is a revolution, how then do you reject the product of the revolution? How do you reject communism or socialism? You can't, because you're stuck with it. It's what legitimates you as a government. And this was something that was a big factor in the collapse or destruction of the Soviet Union in 1991, was when Gorbachev moved away from the monopoly of the Communist Party, from central planning and state ownership of the means of production. He was rejecting the legitimacy of the Soviet Union, and you know, Yeltsin and the leaders of other republics were able to pick up on this, and this was a big part in the eventual collapse of the Soviet Union. So, you know, so at any rate, though, one of the points I was making is, you know, even today, people's understanding of things can be slow, just because people are slow to think, people are slow to understand things. But in if you move the clock back 80 years or whatever, you're also have much slower communications. And the Soviet Union was a pretty closed society. So can you blame Hitler for not understanding in, say, 1939, 1940, that it was that the Soviet Union was really no longer dominated by Jews? To what extent should he have been aware of it? Maybe he should have. Maybe there were, the information was there. But so you have that. I was, you know, people, there are a lot of admirers of Adolf Hitler. You've got Kanye West, for instance. Seems to be a big admirer. The number one song nowadays is N-word Heil Hitler. That's the new number one song. But I'm sure it's probably got more downloads over the past week. It would be fun if my friend Casey Kasem was still doing American Top 40. That would be fun having that up there. But you know, there are a lot of fans of Hitler, but he was chancellor for 12 years, and at the end of the 12 years, his country was reduced to rubble, and It's never coming back.
No, Yeah. Yeah, well, you say it was reduced to rubble, and, you know, we hear a lot today about, well, war crimes. Who was it I was talking to the other day? I actually brought this up, and quite rightly so, that at the end of the war, there was just a complete indiscriminate bombing campaign of German civilians. They killed millions just dropping massive bombs. It's like the Israelis do today on the Palestinians. You know, so and then, you know, I remember actually I was in, when I went a couple of years ago to the Basilica di Santa Maria del Grazie, which is the, translates, I think it's the monastery of Saint Mary of Thanks. And in the refectory, which is like, you probably know what it is, I don't mean to patronize our audience, but, you know, the refectory is like a large dining room, essentially, a large place for people, you know, a communal area for people to eat. In the dining hall of the Dominican convent of Santa Maria del Grazie, there is the famous painting by Leonardo da Vinci of the Last Supper. And on one side of the refectory is this painting. This is a very tall wall. It's a massive painting. I mean, you're very small in comparison. So what were you going to say, Patrick?
I'm just sneezing.
Okay. And on the other wall, how far is it? I don't know. But at the other end, there's another painting. I think it might be of the Lord's Crucifixion, the three men on the cross with Christ in the center. But anyway, everything else in between was completely destroyed during the war, the end of World War II. And I asked the girl who's obviously working there, obviously knowledgeable about such things, and I said to her, well, who bombed it? And she said, the Americans. And she said it with quite disdain as well. And I said, that would surprise you perhaps, because America is a very Christian country. She said, well, maybe the people who run it aren't so Christian. But anyway, she was quite angry about it still, that this building was targeted and everything in between. And I said to her, perhaps it was divine intervention, that they bombed everything and destroyed everything except these two walls. Now, there was a little bit of damage done to one of the paintings, but it was pretty minimal considering they wrecked the whole place. And these two paintings remained. And she said, we like to think so. We like to think so. So, you know, there was that, the indiscriminate bombing at the end of World War II. And, of course, there was a lot of starving. There was a camp which held POWs and other people that was just basically people were starved to death. And, of course, the other thing you'll never hear about, and you'll never hear the Russian Federation mention this, but, you know, there are those in Ukraine that claim to be neo-Nazis and that they are, you know, supporters of Stefan Bandera and everything else. And part of this resentment is a remnant of what happened in the Holodomor, you know, the etymology of which is death by hunger, where millions were murdered. Now, we hear about the Holocaust all the time, but there was equally as many people starved to death in the Holodomor between 1929, 1933 sort of territory. Is that right, Patrick, around that time?
Yes.
And, you know, will you hear Vladimir Putin ever go to these people and say, listen, the Red Army, you know, guess what? It wasn't all good. There was a slaughter, a starvation that occurred over 4 years of at least as many people that apparently died in the Jewish Holocaust. And we apologize to you for that. Okay, there was, even if he was to say, there was obviously some bad eggs too. There was, you know, it was a minority of people or whatever, but we apologize for this. Can we move on? You're our, you know, Slavic brothers and we're killing each other. Let's put this behind us. Let's move on. I have an official apology from the Russians against this about this crime. But no, you don't hear anything. You hear about all the millions of Red Army and Russians that died. And you hear it from Larry Johnson and all these other people. And you hear about the Holocaust. We don't hear any of this. You know, these people, and in Eastern Europe, when Hitler came into Ukraine and the Eastern European countries, they welcomed him. They didn't want to be under communism. And you don't hear about that either. So this issue is never addressed. It's never mentioned, you know?
The problem that the Banderites have is they blame Russians for the Holodomor when it was a Jewish policy. The Holodomor is a result of the forced collectivization of agriculture and the requisitioning of agricultural produce. And these were Trotskyite policies. Trotsky had been chased out of the Soviet Union by the time the collectivization of agriculture took place, but it was Jewish Trotskyite policies. And Stephen F. Cohen had written about this. It was the Jewish wing. And he defined there was a Jewish faction of the Bolsheviks that had been dominant up until Stalin was able to cement his rule, and that took several years. You had the big Bolshevik wing. You had a Caucasian wing, meaning like from the Caucasus Mountains, and then you had a small Slavic wing, with the most well known Slav in the Politburo being Nikolai Bukharin. But this was contentious. The in the 20s, when Trotsky was pushing the collectivization of agriculture and the emphasis on building up industry at the expense of the agricultural sector, he was opposed by both Bukharin and Stalin, and he was exiled. Well, once Trotsky was exiled, very unfortunately, then Stalin wound up adopting that policy over the objection of Bukharin, and it was that policy that led to the famine. But it was still, the enforcers of it were Yingrich Yagoda and Kaganovich. It was enforced by Jews. It was a Jewish policy, but unfortunately, the Banderites and the neo-Nazis in Ukraine blame it on Russian Slavs as opposed to Jews. And so here, I mean, it's just such a weird irony that they've got this Jewish president that their movement is supported by a international Jewish power structure and is used as a tragedy, and their own brethren, even the, you know, their Ukrainian nationalist brethren they've just been thrown into a meat grinder on behalf of a Jewish agenda.
And you know
one might ask, how did this take place? And my explanation for how it took place is that you know, you had under the after World War II, you had a repression in the days of the Soviet Union. You had a general repression of discussion of the Holodomor, and then once you got out of the Soviet Union, you got into an era of complete Jewish domination of both, you know, Jewish oligarchic domination of both Russia and Ukraine. So you never had a good understanding of the Jewish role in this. And
of course,
so
Russia. Yeah, and you know, that's the reason Russia has been attacked by the U.S. in quotes, because, you know, their resentment towards Vladimir Putin and the return of the Russian, or, you know, the Russian Federation. And of course, they've got, you know, more historical, older gripes and resentments, you know, against, you know, what is actually Russia, against the, you know, the Tsar and everything else, or their apparent persecution or whatever. So yeah, it is a tragic irony with this crowd over in Ukraine. But I still think it wouldn't, unless I suppose politically it would just be maybe perhaps unacceptable. But would it be beyond the realms of the possibility that Putin, as a PR thing, could reach out to these people and say, we understand there was you've got some resentments from, you know, around this period, and mention the Holodomor. And say, can we move on? You know, do we need to be killing each other? I don't know. That's not going to happen. I know that.
I don't know.
I am sick and tired, though. At this point, I am, as much as I take Russia's position, over the last 3 days, both by our commentators, these talking heads on the judge and other people, apart from McGregor, who, you know, pushed back against some of it. I'm sick and tired of Russians now being presented as if they're all just saints. You know, like Vladimir Putin, you know, it goes the complete opposite way, where they can do no wrong. They've never done any wrong. You know, it's, I think it's gone too far, quite frankly.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Susanna's Secret Real Essential Oils of Nature would like to thank you and RBN listeners for your previous purchases. We're announcing that we have a new waterless diffuser in stock with a full one-year warranty. You just insert the bottle to the top, screw it in, tip it upside down, set your timer, or it's also motion-activated at furion.com. That's furion.com. That's furion.com.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Well, hello, folks. This is Mike Gatti, the Rebel Madman at Republic Broadcasting Network. If you are searching for your inner rebel, it can be found at the Dixie Republic. It's the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to thedixierepublic.com to view all of their Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through their extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in their Johnny Reb gun and leather shop. Now remember, DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
All right, we're back here again on Beyond the Official Narrative. I'm really sick of these commemorations. You know, in Northern Ireland, one of the reasons that wasn't the only one, but one of the reasons that tensions continued for so long is because of these commemorations, particularly on the Loyalist side, the Battle of the Boyne and this, that, and the other, and they're like marching season for like 3 months. Everyone just leaves Northern Ireland. You know, these commemorations of these victories and then commemorations of tragedies and stuff. And, I don't think it helps. I think they should make a rule that these things have to stop commemorating them after 50 years and move on.
Come on. Did any country actually win the war? I mean, who came out of it good? Who came out of it good? The United States came out of it in the 1950s, happy days, yeah. As a result of the war, you had increased Jewish domination, and the Jews, once dominant, what did they do? They destroyed the America that they had inherited and has transformed it and so much of the other countries into multiculturalism.
Of course, I'm material because the whole boomer generation were kind of sort of subconscious bribed.
I'm just saying there's nothing to celebrate.
No, as I say, you had some boomers that had some prosperity across the West, but like I said, it was almost like a subconscious bribe because they didn't realize they were believing all the propaganda coming out of four channels that were available at the time. And their views still persist in many ways, particularly in mainstream media, even like some of the mainstream media-like people we've been talking about. And it's very frustrating, but I think the kids are much more sophisticated, really. How they disseminate information, and they've got the internet, and they've got Kanye West, so there is hope.
You don't go into Armageddon with the black rapper you want. You go into Armageddon with the black rapper you have, and perhaps the black rapper you need. I don't know.
Okay, let me just say this as well. We're going to take calls in the last, let's say the last 40 minutes, because I know we had a caller and I want to bring him in. But at the same time, there's a lot of stuff that I want to get through with Patrick here, and then we'll take some calls in the last, we'll make it the last 40 minutes. So I'm not being disrespectful or negative about callers. I just want to get through a lot of this stuff. And of course, the other thing we got, Patrick, out of World War II was the State of Israel for the, somewhere finally for the poor, long-suffering, persecuted Jews to have a homeland of their own. And all they do...
The IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Susanna's Secret Real Essential Oils of Nature would like to thank you and RBN listeners for your previous purchases. We're announcing that we have a new waterless diffuser in stock with a full 1-year warranty. You just insert the bottle to the top, screw it in, tip it upside down, set your timer, or it's also motion activated at furion.com. That's furion.com. That's furion.com.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.